I'm Monica Pearson, and my guest today is Gina Louise Breedlove, medicine woman, sound healer, singer, songwriter, actress, and I'm adding activist, even though she doesn't include that in her biography. She's going to be performing at City Winery on May 17th, so I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you, Gina, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the first question I've got to ask you, why is your first name spelled with a lowercase g?
You know, really, it's just that I prefer the shape. I wish that it was deeper than that. It's not. I had a lovely man introduce me once and liken it to me being humble.
But
it's a good story, but that's not true.
Okay.
I just like the shape, and I'm named after my Aunt Gina, my mom's sister, and she always used a lowercase g, and she's one of my favorite people.
So. Well, when I hear Gina Louise, that's Southern, but you grew up in Brooklyn, so how did you get this Southern name?
Well, my father is from Apalachicola, Florida. My people are from Decatur County, so there is, I am told, a Breedlove town somewhere in Georgia. I have not found it yet, but I did find Breedlove Drive as I was driving to Athens, Georgia from the airport one day.
So you really have roots here.
I do.
You know, your name is very synonymous, I think, with what you do, because that is what you do through your music and through your healing, is to breed love.
Yes, ma'am.
Boy, talk about divine intervention.
Indeed. Indeed. I mean, it took a while, frankly, when I was growing up, to embrace it, you know. And I played around. I was Gina B. for a little while. And then, you know, Gina B. Love. And then I was like, come on, girl, just surrender. Breed love is your name. So Gina Breedlove is, yeah.
What I found interesting about you, you were a background singer at the age of 15 for a woman's voice I absolutely love, Phyllis Hyman.
Yes.
I can still hear her music in my head. How did you get to be a background singer for her?
Oh, her drummer, his name was, is Dune Perry. Dune Perry, I remember. And we had mutual friends. I always had elders. I was always around elders looking for guidance and wisdom and support in the world growing up in Brooklyn. And Dune heard me singing one day. And they were doing, Phyllis Hyman used to play a club called McKell's on the Upper West Side in New York. That was her home. That was kind of where she got her start, you know. And she had a loyal and ardent following. And they lost one of their background singers. And so Dean said, I know who can do it, you know. And they were skeptical because I was 15. But I came in and I auditioned and I got the job.
So how long have you been singing? Because you just don't start at 15. When did you discover this voice of yours?
You know, I started, my siblings tell me that I have been toning and humming since I was a baby girl. My first conscious memory of using my voice, you know, to create ease for myself, to create safe space for myself, was when I was 5 years old. And so I would hum, I would sing, I would make up songs to God, to spirit. You know, I'm one of five, I'm the middle child, and so they just thought me odd and special. And they would tell me to shut it up. But that was not a deterrent. And so I would just sing all the time.
The pain Gina Breedlove was trying not to feel when we come back. As a child, Gina sang to heal. What was going on where it made you feel that was your safe place, music?
Well, you know, my the reason why I can pinpoint five is my mother left me on a doorstep when I was 5 years old. And went off into the world with a man I'd never seen before. She and my father had separated. And then I turned back and went into what I refer to the house of chaos. I mean, now, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I have to say, my mom and I, it's a good story. We mended. When she died in 19, and 19.
No, 2014.
Thank you, dear. You have been doing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Because the story, of course, it sends me to places. And so time gets a little fuzzy for me. In 2014, we were very close. She was the bravest woman I'd ever met, and I was deeply, deeply in love with her. But there were many years where I was not. But I do remember that day that I started to hum. I started to hum, you know, and just very consciously wrap that around myself, because it was a moment where I just didn't feel like I would be able to move forward. I mean, I didn't have the language for it. I was 5 years old. But my heart was broken.
How do you mend a broken heart?
For me, it's sound. And, oh, my goodness, how much time we got?
I got at least 20 more minutes.
There are, at any given moment, at least 32 trillion cells in the body. And sound penetrates cells. It penetrates water. It penetrates the body in ways that... in ways that nothing else does. And I know this because I would sound into my body and sound into my grieving heart and just move grief along. Because, you know, children just want to be children. And then I could play and I could laugh and I could, you know, I was very bossy in my family. And so I could dictate to my siblings what needed to be did. And I was always a leader in games and always raise my hand first in the classroom and all of these things. And it was my sound that kept me feeling hopeful. You know, when your mama leaves you on a doorstep, one of the first things you learn is how to be small, you know, and you become quite intimate with this feeling that you are insignificant. And so, you know, just pushing past that and growing and learning and continuing to rise. Mm-hmm. And when my mother died in 2014... what folk were thinking about what I was offering. You know, I know everybody's medicine is not for everybody, but just getting out of my head and out of the way and allowing the experience to be there. It's like giving, I think, when I'm doing my sound work, here's a glass, you can take a sip, you can drink the whole glass, and you can put it aside for later, but it's your offering. The offering is for you.
Gina Breedlove is more than a singer. She's also an actress. She was Sarabi, Simba's mother, in the original Lion King on Broadway. And she has appeared in films.
You know, I went to the high school for the performing arts. And then I left. You know, I felt really ready to hit the streets, as they say, and make my life as a singer and a songwriter. And so I started doing regional theater because that's really what was available. And so working with, I remember Crossroads Theater Company in New Jersey, in New Brunswick, New Jersey was the first theater I worked in. And we did a musical, Sophisticated Ladies. And I played the ingenue, Phyllis Simon's role. And that just led to other work around the country. And
you've worked with Harry Belafonte.
Yes, yes, yes. Shortly after Sophisticated Ladies, I auditioned and went on tour for 4 years. As his featured vocalist, Mr. Belafonte, and got to go to Europe, and that was incredible. It was at times a baptism by fire. Yeah, because he's quite a taskmaster.
Yes, he is indeed.
And I was better for it. I've never seen a more consummate performer. He's amazing.
Well, you've also worked with Spike Lee, whose grandmother and grandfather lived here in Atlanta. And Spike, of course, graduated from Morehouse. Mm-hmm. So many people have their questions about working with Spike. You just jumped right in. You've done two films with him. Yes. How would you describe him as a filmmaker?
You know, I have a great deal of respect for Spike Lee. I actually met him when I was 17 years old in Brooklyn. And we were friends or more inside of each other's community. I loved working with him. I have heard the stories to the contrary, but I didn't have any trouble at all. And once he found out that I was a sound healer, he asked me to come and do sound work with the cast members on set every day. And then when he went to Chicago to do Chirac, he brought me to Chicago specifically to hold sound healing circles with the mothers in the movie. They were called the Mothers of the Hood. And, you know, of course, he used, you know, real folk in Chicago who have lost their children to gun violence. So I love me some Spike. I think that he is well-intentioned. I had some feelings about the film. I had wished that things would have been different, you know, at the end of the day, a few things. But I'm grateful to him, you know, that created connected tissue for me there in Chicago. And also, I mean, I had some mothers come and say that it was the first time that they had been able to feel some lightness in their body since losing their children. And one woman told me that she had not been able to write for a year after losing her son. And she had emailed me the next day, and that night she went home and journaled. I mean, so Spike's presence in Chicago did so much in so many directions. Other than all of the critiques about the film, I really bless his heart. His intentions were rooted in wanting to be of service. I had a 15-minute ritual in Oakland a couple of weeks ago because all they gave me was 15 minutes. And had the folk on their feet using their voices to lay sound into each other's bodies. I mean, when you think about it, we do it all day long. We speak into being. We bless and we curse. We lift and we lay low all day long. I mean, my people used to say in Apalachicola, don't put your mouth on that. Don't speak into being. Because of the power of the voice, the power of the word, the power that is inherent in this, in the body, in the... I mean, when we speak, for me as a medicine woman, I see that we are parting the air in front of our mouths. We're opening spaces. And I've heard folks say, you know, that's way wootastic West Coast thinking, but it's science. You know, I didn't make it up. I'm not remaking the wheel. I'm just deepening the understanding of it.
Don't label Gina Breedlove as a black hippie or flower child, and why she's moving from the West Coast to Georgia. It has to do with her daughter going off to college. Now, if you have a child going off to college, maybe they could be the next recipient of a $2,500 HBCU scholarship from Delta Community Credit Union. Go to kiss104fm.com and nominate a deserving student by submitting a 100-word or less essay. Tell us why that student deserves or needs a scholarship. And you know, if you're going back to school, why don't you just go on and nominate yourself? See official rules at kiss104fm.com for complete details and eligibility requirements. This is the new Kiss 104.1, today's R&B and throwback, celebrating mothers. And my guest today, Gina Breedlove, is a mother of one, a singer, an actress, a medicine woman, and she's also what's called a sound healer, who accepts those descriptions, but don't call her a black hippie or a flower child.
You know, I have a lot of compassion and patience for folks that need to box and, but these ready-made responses, as if that defines me. You know, I have a dear friend who says that if she's going to a meeting and needs a peacemaker, she's going to bring me. And if she's going to a meeting and needs to fight, she's going to bring me. You know, I'm an amalgamation of all of these things. I do walk with love, and I do know how to be fierce in the world. I have that at my disposal. I have that language.
Is there a sister girl in there?
Yes. And so I think it's essential equipment. You know, and because of the work that I do, I mean, I hold people's grief in my hands. I have to be fierce. You know, I have to be fierce. I have to be boundaried and clear and loving. You know, all of that is necessary, and all of that is what I walk with. And at 52, I can really stand very clearly and firmly in my body and say, I am. And I earn that. And so I can be flower child, and I can also got your back. You know, I got you is actually one of my favorite sentences. But, you know, I think folks do that because it's more comfortable.
Gina Breedlove's daughter was 12 when they moved to San Francisco, but now Breedlove is moving to Georgia.
But when my daughter graduated, I realized that I wasn't tethered. I didn't have to stay. And then I thought, well, where do you want to be? Where do you feel nourished? Where do you feel at home? And I had been touring throughout Georgia and North Carolina, and I remembered the feeling of being barefoot in red dirt. When I was a little girl in Apalachicola and in Gainesville, because I have people there. And then I did spend some time in Georgia as well. And I felt held. I felt like the landscape took care of me. And so doing the kind of work that I do, I need to come home to a place that feels like sanctuary. And yeah, I love Oakland, but it never felt psychically quiet for me, you know. But I feel rooted and at home here. Yeah.
In the Georgia clay.
Yes, yes.
That clay. You're not going to miss that water?
You know, no, because the rivers that run through Georgia, and I have found my way to several. Yeah, I will get to the river. So I'm not worried about it.
So back to your sound healing. Mm-hmm. Author Alice Walker says your sound healing is, quote, magical, profound, wonderful, and yes, healing. Mm-hmm. You use singing bowls, tuning forks, bells, chimes. In other words, you use whatever's there.
I do, and my drum. But, you know, always my voice. The constancy is the embodied consciousness inside of the voice. And so when I am in front of a group or when I'm before one person, I get out of the way. I do. I pray us in, I pray us out, and then I allow. And it is my understanding that we all walk with folk, you know, our ancestors. And so I am guided to where the sound is needed inside of the body. And I do my job. And then we close. And then I bless you on your journey.
There is a lack of information about you on the web. I mean, there really is.
Yeah.
I almost felt like calling a friend and saying, can I get into the university systems so that I can look up stuff on Gina?
Yeah.
Because when you just go online, there is nothing. And somehow I feel that's on purpose.
It is on purpose. The work that I do is so intimate. And so there's no videotaping during a sound circle. You know, there's no, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I rely so heavily on word of mouth. And in performances, or ritual performances, folk come and sometimes they take a little video, but most times folks don't pick up their phones. The experience is happening in the moment. And so you don't want to leave it. In fact, I have a dear friend, Valerie Boyd, who, was going to come to New York to see an offering and then sent a friend because she couldn't make it and then said, we'll take pics. And her friend, I remember, you know, cause I saw the exchange on Facebook. I didn't have time, you know, because you get in and we take off. And you know, the language of spirit demands presence. So that's what I can say about that. I mean, I do realize that in some ways it's been a little difficult when I get the word out around things. So I'm hoping that your radio show, gifting me with your presence.
I am hoping that people will go. And, uh-huh. and that to me is very important because not only is your music very healing, your personality is. You just come in with a sense of peace.
See when you the water, it takes your breath
you surrender to you.